Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to be a part of the show, leave us a comment there. We ask you to download the radio.com app to catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. Obviously, the best way to always be a part of our show and find out what's going on, it's on our personal Twitter handles. Hit me up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He, of course, is at JarvisD90. So I head out to the waitfor.com hotline as it's been a crazy first 6 weeks of the NFL season. Our buddy Eric Edholm is joining us on the waitfor.com hotline. Of course, follow Eric at Eric_Edholm. You can catch his work at Yahoo Sports NFL writer. As always, Eric, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes here tonight with us.
Yeah, pleasure's mine. What's going on?
Well, we've got a lot going on here in Atlanta, as obviously we are in the midst of temporary regime, I guess. You know, what do you think the likelihood of Raheem Morris, if it's not here, let's say if he does have a nice run, but they decide to move on in Atlanta with somebody else, do you think the league still looks at Raheem Morris as a head coach, or is he still more valued as a coordinator?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there's, you know, sometimes when guys get jobs that young and don't succeed, it's almost as if they're immediately branded the lifetime coordinator, the lifetime assistant. And, you know, Raheem had to take the long road back. I mean, he was coaching on the offensive side for a bit, then back on the defensive. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, had to kind of work his way back up. And, you know, it took years to kind of rebuild his reputation. I thought it was a little bit unfair. You know, I mean, a little bit of an uphill climb that he shouldn't have had to make. But, you know, sometimes you got to get knocked down. I mean, Bill Belichick was a secondary coach, you know, under Bill Parcells for a year, you know, before he was able to, you know, get another opportunity 5 years later or whatever it was. So, you know, obviously each case is unique. If he wins in Atlanta and there's a strong impression that he's the guy to lead the locker room, you know, it wouldn't, of course, completely stun me if they thought he was the best man for the job. It also depends on how many openings there are going to be. You know, we obviously know of two and likely three. I think most people assume that Adam Gase won't be the Jets head coach in 2021. You know, there may be others as well. I don't know what the final number is going to be. It's going to depend on how the next, you know, probably 5 or 6 weeks end up shaping out. But, you know, he's going to be in that mix. I mean, Todd Bowles in Tampa has done a great job down there, too. There's a lot of guys who've been in kind of similar shoes that I think are reminding people they know how to coach, you know, and that maybe they were dealt a little bit of a bad hand in their first head coaching job.
You know, Eric, one of the things I'm very curious by to watch is, you know, watching Arizona last night, or I guess Monday night. Yeah, last night.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, our days are, this is our,
days don't all, mean anything. Yeah.
Well, listen, in all honesty, this is our second show today that we've done. So we're all over the board. So days are hard to keep up with. But in watching Arizona last night, and I understand that you know, they haven't won a playoff game and they're not in the Super Bowl, but that's a 4-2 football team with a young quarterback that was certainly part of a unique system, sort of, if you will, in college. Like, he's not a traditional NFL system. Coming in with a college head coach that a lot of people scratch their head, and they're finding success. And that team looks like it really is on the rise. I wonder if, you know, the NFL is the biggest copycat league in the world. How much is Cliff Kingsbury, do you think, in the job he's doing, opening the eyes of the possibility of going and looking at other college coaches to bring into the NFL and rolling the dice on maybe some guys who we might not have thought of a couple of years ago?
Right. And I mean, only with, you know, a tiny bit of sort of NFL experience, really. And I mean, you know, obviously, I think as, you know, and I'm writing a piece this week, I just turned in the first part of it today about how, you know, the quarterback position is sort of changing from the old pocket passer to the more dual threat quarterbacks now. And I think, you know, you could argue that head coaching tastes are also changing in a little bit of a way. And we used to always do the, you know, the sort of standard progression, NFL position coach to NFL coordinator to NFL head coach. And, you know, there was that rash of kind of failed college coaches there for a while, and all the columnists would say, don't take college coaches. And, you know, it turns out these are really innovative coaches, and maybe in some ways they can connect with the players a little bit better, and they bring some offensive ideas or defensive ideas that, you know, the league isn't sort of hip to yet or that sort of thing. There, you know, the NFL technically is behind the curve on a lot of the, you know, the high schools are even the more progressive thinkers in a lot of ways than the NFL is, but, you know, it takes a lot to kind of crash the establishment party, and it takes the right situation. But Cliff Kingsbury knows offensive football. There's no doubt about that. And getting paired with sort of the perfect running mate in Kyler Murray, it absolutely was a great marriage there. Now, granted, they lost games to Detroit. They didn't look very good against Carolina. You know, they've been a little bit up and down, but you're right, 4-2. In a tough division, showing some promise. That win Monday night was, you know, impressive after they kind of slogged down early. I think it could open up some things to, I mean, I don't know. Lincoln Riley's probably got a little bit stronger of a resume, even though he's going through a bit of a tougher season than usual. He's one that obviously comes to mind. There are others. It'll be fascinating to see what the college interview involvement is going to be at the end of the year, you know, again, depending on how many jobs are open.
NFL writer from Yahoo Sports, Eric Edholm, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline. By the way, throw Matt Rhule into that mix too. Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. The fact that they've come in and look, say what you will, with no Christian McCaffrey and things, I mean, they look like a better football team. You know, I mean, I know that the net result in year one may not be tremendous, but they do look like a better football team. So I think it is an interesting discussion and looking like that. Let's get back to Falcons for just a second, because the questions we have here in Atlanta are, look, we know Matt's in year 12, 13, whatever it is, since 2008. So this is year, I guess, 13 for Matt. You know, Julio obviously is an aging wide receiver as well. You see a little bit, you know, of it's not so much that when he's on the field he can't produce. It's just the nagging injuries and things that have kind of hampered him. How attractive do you think, even with knowing the contracts of some of the guys that they have here in Atlanta, in looking at the core of this team? If you said Matt, Julio, Jake Matthews, Debo, Grady, you know, guys like that that are kind of the core of this team, how do you think, from a national perspective, the look of the Falcons roster is from an attraction standpoint?
Are you talking about for a prospective head coach or for potentially for the trade market? You
mean? Well, for a coach and GM to want to come in here, hot of a property in looking at where this team is Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some salary cap stuff that needs to be kind of ironed out for next year. You know, I mean, obviously the age of the roster at certain spots, this has got to be looked at. I think there's some holes defensively that obviously need to be filled. But, you know, I mean, if you're concerned at all about winning in year one, if you decide that Matt Ryan is going to be part of the future, at least for another year, you know, it's nice especially for a young head coach to come in and have somebody who's been, you know, so reliable in so many ways like Matt Ryan has been. So from that standpoint, you know, just that little bit of stability is going to be attractive. You know, I think it's, you know, it's sort of a weird deal if you compare it to Houston, let's say. You know, Deshaun Watson is going to be, you know, viewed more favorably because he's younger. You know, he's a little bit more of the dual threat style that maybe some of these young head coaches have a little more experience in. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. I mean, I guess it sort of depends on what type of candidate, both in terms of the front office and the head coach, you know, that they want to bring in and consider. I mean, at some point, you have to draft a quarterback and find somebody behind that to develop, but these days, develop might be 3 weeks. I mean, you know, they just don't have the same off-season time. So, you know, you still have to think about the quarterback position long-term and decide how many years does Matt have left, how many years does Julio have left, and how can we start planning for the future, not only there, but at the other spots that are a little bit glaring.
Eric, you know, I'll give the NFL credit for how adaptive they've been so far this season, whether it's, you know, we got to play at 3 o'clock on Monday, or even if we have to have a Tuesday game. We were kind of internally discussing this, Jarvis and I, last week. Do you think with the streaming services and things like that Tuesday night football is a realistic thing, that maybe with Netflix and all these deals that are coming along for the NFL, that they would consider expanding into Tuesday?
It's possible. You know, obviously, I really enjoyed, you know, the Monday night doubleheader. I mean, I understand it's not going to be perfect for everybody's schedule and all that, and, you know, it either creates some situations where you miss the first part of the first game, or if you're going to bed the last part of the last game. Tuesday is obviously, you know, it almost feels at this point like, wow, what time's kickoff tonight, right? Oh, aren't we having a game, you know? So I think if the NFL can find ways to, you know, expand its reach and have games on more days, obviously with the idea that Friday and Saturday are kind of the high school and college territory. Obviously, they don't, you know, I mean, later in the season, things are going to change. And then obviously with COVID, everything gets thrown off. But, yeah, Tuesday feels like the more likely situation for them if they were to expand to a different day. It wouldn't shock me. I think this season, even though it's been a trial and a real struggle at times, you know, it's probably going to open the NFL's eyes to ideas like this and other situations that they hadn't thought of previously. So, you know, I mean, sort of the desperation, inspiration thing, I guess. And, you know, that's sometimes how these advancements happen.
Follow him on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm, covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. Joined us here on the waitfor.com hotline. As always, Eric, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes, and be safe, be well. We'll talk to you here soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.